Hi. I feel like you were... So Greg and I sync. We sync the audio at the start of the track, and I feel like Greg was shadowing me with his... No one's going to know what I'm talking about.
That's good. Should we explain the role reversal?
Yes. Do you want to do that?
Okay. So, I don't know. I think this might be episode 40. I can't remember. But for however many, up until now, I've kind of taken the reins of editing the track and kind of like putting it all together. And so Tom just rings in.
I'm like just chats caller in a radio station.
Yeah, he's my guest, and then I do everything. So we've flipped it now. So Tom's gonna be the man pulling the strings.
So yeah, if you guys see a dramatic decrease in production value of the snappening, blame Greg for not teaching me properly how to edit.
Classic student talk, blaming the teacher.
I'll do my best.
What's going on?
Good, man. What's going on? Well, my news for this morning is I got a new coffee machine.
Ooh.
Like, it's not a machine. It's this epic thing. It's a Bodum. I forgot what it's called. You'd actually love it. It's like a science experiment.
It's like... with tubes and...
Well, not really. No. It's got a... I don't even know what it's called. It's got a bottom chamber that's made out of glass, and it has a top chamber made out of glass, and the top chamber fits very snugly into the bottom one via a small glass tube with a seal.
Can I Google something?
Yeah. Let me just do a live. It works via vacuum. Bodum coffee.
B-O-D-U-M?
Yeah. Bodum coffee vacuum brewer. Vacuum brewer.
So that's the important part.
Vacuum. Yes. So once you have that photo up, tell me and I'll tell you how awesome it is.
Oh.
So can you see that bottom chamber? Mm-hmm. If you're at home, Google this too.
Are yours like two circular types?
Yeah. They're like two bulb sort of things.
Yeah, two bulbs.
So you put the water in the bottom, and then you put the coffee grounds in the top, and in the middle there's a seal. Like, you put something into the top chamber and it seals. Then you boil, you put it on the stove, the water boils in the bottom and very gently allows the seal to open, and the water goes through into the top and mixes with the grinds, and you take it off the heat. But there's obviously this vacuum in the bottom the bottom bulb, which pulls the water back through the coffee grinds into the bottom.
Whoa.
Yeah. Actually, I found out a bit about this machine from Dave. You know Dave?
Oh, my old mate.
Dave the scientist.
Yeah. He'd be all over that.
Oh, he was... Oh, man.
And is he a coffee guy? Must be.
Oh, he's probably more snobby than I am when it comes to coffee. And that's saying something.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. It's pretty cool. How are you?
I'm pretty well. I'm lovely. Yeah, I'm good. We've had some incredible weather for the last like 5 or maybe even a week, 6 days to a week. And so just been, I had a triple header Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So then yesterday being Sunday, I just did nothing. I just booked in a day where I like the emails piled up. I just did nothing. I lay on the deck, and I've got this outside speaker set up where it's on an Apple Airport Express. So I can like play music to the outside speakers from my phone, like lying on the deck.
Oh, so it's good.
Really great. Yeah, so that was my day yesterday.
Whereas I just played PlayStation all day.
I don't have a PlayStation, and that's the reason. Like, if it would just be the 10 minutes of free time I do have, have to use it up playing PlayStation.
It's dangerous, actually. Yeah, it's a good point.
So, things are good, man. Just really super busy, and... One nice thing I've been doing, because I've been trying to outsource a little bit of my work, because I'm still like editing my weddings and Kat's weddings. So I've been outsourcing a little bit here and there, not like off-site, but to Kat.
Yep.
So the very, very small thing I've started off offloading is album design. So Kat is now doing our albums.
Okay.
And that's working really well. It's been nice to kind of feel like, oh, there's something happening behind the scenes without me doing it.
And so does she do the design, and then is she adept at sort of the Wait, you don't use Smart Albums, do you?
No, I still use... I tried Smart Albums, but I ended up using Album Stomp, which is like Blog Stomp.
Ah, yes.
And they're great. It's nice and easy, piece of cake, and no ongoing plans or anything like that. You just buy it and it's done.
And how do you then... How does the client... Does it have a proofing system?
Yes, only in that... No, okay, so I suppose... No, it doesn't. It doesn't have the proofing system like Smart online. Albums. So what we would do is just do a Dropbox and send them the PDFs or JPEGs, they come back and
So they just write in their email like, "Hey, spread one,
you've got
blah blah blah, change this." Okay.
So yeah, a little bit clunky in that respect, but we have been doing a lot of the, now you coined this, surprise albums.
Oh yeah.
And so there are no revisions, so it's just like
how bang, good bang, is bang, that? Bang.
Really good, and I've got those at like a much cheaper price than the other ones. So no, those are the best, man. They're fantastic.
Oh, I got them at like half. Like I only make like 100, 150 bucks on a surprise album, but it's so nice. Just get them out there. More people see
them out. So Cat's doing those. It's really, really good. Once people see and kind of, they see the price of both albums and they understand what a surprise album is.
Mm.
Or maybe I should just explain to people that haven't heard like our big album podcast a while ago.
We
do this thing where we do the surprise album, which is an album that's exactly the same quality, possibly fewer pages, whatever you want to do. But the idea is that the client doesn't have any say in any of the design of the album. They just receive it on their doorstep, finished. And obviously, then we would charge a premium if they want to make revisions and change the whatever you're comfortable changing.
Yep.
I actually decided that both my albums are going to be exactly the same. Same size, same stock, exactly the same. One difference is the client can choose their layouts if it's surprise. That's it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very good.
And anyway, so yeah. Great that Kat can be ticking away at those while I'm just smashing out
edits. Smashing out the edits, yeah. What's your queue at?
Oh, I don't even count it anymore.
Just a lot. So more than 10. Whoa.
Like, well, I just shot... Kat and I shot 3 weddings on the weekend and Kat shot 2. So that's 5.
That's straight away 5, yeah.
5. And we did two videos, but in one of them, the client is editing the video. So I've got...
You told me about that, yeah.
I've got 6... Well, that's video. What we talked about last week was photography where the client did the edits.
Goodness.
So anyway, just from one weekend, I get like 6 things to do. 6 or 7 or 5, depending on the weekend.
Yeah, right.
So anyway...
It can creep up pretty fast, yeah.
But this year, kind of things got a bit out of control. Like, the pricing is based on, of course, when I was booking weddings like a year or 18 months ago. So my pricing's gone up a lot since then. And next year, it won't happen like this because we're trying to do less and earn more. But this was kind of the perfect combination of my pricing was still pretty cheap when I was booking these, or relatively cheap. Not even that cheap, but just lower than it is now. And I guess I got a little bit popular.
Hey man, with a face like yours, I'm not surprised.
Nah. Anyway, so that was a good blab about how I am. But I've got no personal
anecdotes.
I've got no coffee grinders. I've been buying furniture for the deck lately on Trade Me. That's what I've been doing.
Oh man.
With varying levels of
important.
Success.
That's important.
I bought this table on Trade Me, classic Trade Me ripoff, and the lady was selling a teak table, teak being the kind of like hardwood timber.
Mm-hmm.
She said it's only been used it was 2 years old, but it's been covered the whole time. Her words were amazing condition.
Let me guess, absolute piece of...
Yeah,
like
of the proverbial. I picked it up. And it was, she wanted it to be picked up at 7 in the morning. And I was like, yeah, all right, I can make that work. And it works because it's in Auckland and you can beat the traffic. Took the trailer, picked it up. She had taken it all apart, so it was kind of hard to see it all set up.
Yeah.
She was in her, like, nighty, so her pajamas and, like, robe. So I wasn't going to, like, stick around. I was out of there.
You want to be creepy. So
yeah.
I got some coffee.
So I get it home. I put it all together and I realized, okay, first of all, this table is not teak. It's pine. Like, it's a regular dumb pine table with a coat of stain on it.
Right.
It's been outside and it's weathered, so the pine has all shrunk and like parts of it were rotten all the way through.
Mm.
So I messaged her and I'm like, lady, like I'm happy to accept when I've made a mistake. Like maybe I read the auction wrong, maybe my expectations were too high, but I cannot let this slide. Like, I'm just going to bring it back to you, do a refund, you know, let's just go our separate ways.
Sure.
She actually, in the end, was pretty good about it. And she said, look, just let me refund you. You keep the table. She kind of admitted
she's
she
like,
was
I don't want it.
Yeah. So it was all good. It could have been horrible, but just a classic trade me. Just, yeah. you gotta look at what you're buying so carefully.
Oh, totally, man.
Anyway, shall we move on?
Yeah, like I'm glad that you've been getting a lot of interesting furniture on your day. That's awesome. I didn't mean for that to sound so condescending. No, that's good. Yeah, sweet. Hey, you have some. There was something you were doing just before we started recording.
Oh yeah, I asked Tom a question and he was like, "Shut up, ask me later." I just think it's so funny, like the. I checked an email just before we pushed record, and it was an email from a bride that I've just delivered a final album to. And I just kind of realized the way I read those emails, it's almost like I want to read one line at a time and not skim forward, because I'm just dreading the... And you summed it up, Tom. It's like, what do you reckon? Or, hey, would it be a... Would it
you're
be
talking
really-
about you're talking not about an album, a physical album. You're talking about like the final set of images, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Sorry.
So, the email comes
a gallery.
In. Yeah. So you send the gallery. Hey, here's your gallery. Blah blah blah. Thanks for the wedding.
Yeah. You're amazing. Everything's there's cool.
Then there's a gap.
So many
there's
days.
Maybe a few days or a week or sometimes more.
Could be
and
a month. Yeah.
Suddenly you open up your email. There's an email from that bride in a response.
Exactly.
And you're like, and you know you did a good job, but there's always that little. Okay, so then you open the email.
Yeah, and so the way I check that email, if you know how on a Mac you can have expose where all your windows are open at once? If I had my way, I would put the mail window like tiny in the expose and just read almost with my hands over like covering my eyes, just read one word at a time. Just
I do exactly the same thing, and I skim for keywords. So the keywords that I look for are wondered or more. If you
were there any,
weren't too happy, issue.
What we're looking for is, I know we don't swear on this, but I'm going to make an exception. We're looking for the shit in the shit sandwich, because there's the bun, there's the top bun, the bottom bun, which is the we love our
photos,
so good, and then the last one is. The bottom bun is like, oh, but anyway, you know, so happy. Just let us know if you can.
Apart from the horrible comments we just made above. And then what's the meat? The shit in the middle is like, we just were wondering if you had any more
photos
one.
Of grandma sitting down. It was really important. Any more shots of guests arriving?
It's hard, eh? Because like on a serious note, like what do we do? Because we try and get everything, but there are times when we just can't get everything and it sucks and I feel bad. Like my first reaction when I get an email like that is, you're an idiot, Tom. Idiot. You're terrible at your job. You should quit just right now. Refund all this.
Why am I doing this job?
Oh, I'm shit. I should have stayed in my office job. This is terrible. And then after like a few minutes, I'm like, no, you're right. You're right, man. It's cool. And then I immediately go to the gallery of photos and I look through and I'm like, these are awesome. Like, what is going on? And then I end up with the final place, which is like, all right, you did a good job. You know, maybe that particular client has a bit of a point. Let's try and mitigate this.
It's like the full spectrum
like the stages.
Of what is that? What is it? The
grief spectrum.
Yeah, the grief. That's it. Yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
Maybe we should make a flowchart because we're not alone in this, you know?
I can see a good meme, a good GIF.
What are the stages? The first stage is total and utter fear of reading it.
So fear.
That's fear of reading the
words.
And then
would it be denial next? I'm not thinking of the actual one, but I'm thinking how I feel like fear and then like,
well, see,
come
I
on,
don't
this,
think
this person's an idiot. Like, what are you talking
That's not
about?
My first reaction. My first reaction, okay, fear when reading it, then gutted when I realize
okay. So like
I haven't
some sort
done...
of sadness?
When I realize I might have missed something. Yes.
Fear, sadness.
Then a few minutes later comes the sort of anger. No, no.
Like no, self-anger or anger at the client?
No, anger at, I guess sometimes it's at the person who wrote the email. Like, how dare you? I did a good job. Which is ridiculous, of course.
Okay, you know? Anyway, and so on and so forth.
Blah, 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 blah.
So that was all. Yeah, it's scary, but I can give some good results. Actually, it was kind of nice what just happened, because that email, which could have gone either way, and she was really nice, and that wedding did go very well. We will be sure to do a glowing review in the next couple of days. Nice. Can't recommend you enough. Hope nice. We see you next time we're in Mungify. So, oh, really? And like, I can see in the sentence above, they've used the words, they are incredible. Oh, like, really nice.
It does make your day when you're expecting a shitstorm and you read it and it's like really lovely.
So that happened. And then another email came in like a second later, and it's another whole new couple and they want to book me. So I was just
yay.
Like, double positive.
And so then you get to talk to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Your day just got amazing.
Incredible. And then I have to go back to my 100 weddings that I've got.
Tell me about your... I don't have any snapdowns today because I have a large chunky topic, but yeah, you have some snapdowns.
Snapdown was... Oh, this is kind of following on from the good vibes from the last thing.
Yep.
Don't you just love it when someone in their speech at a wedding thanks the photographer?
So good. But wow. Can I just say that conversely, when you don't get thanked, you're up the back of that room thinking, my God, I'm going to delete half your photos.
Okay, can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
Okay, so it happened twice over the last 3 days. The wedding I was at 2 days ago, and it's all pre-written. So the groom, he's like, oh, I want to thank the caterers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, and the flowers were incredible. Oh, and
your wedding.
Who else? Who's a really obscure one? Like, oh, the DJ,
the landscaper at the venue.
The person that designed our invitations. Yeah, oh, yeah, my God. And you're just standing there going,
hello.
They're not going to say it. So you get this. I did a wedding 2 days last week. And the guy's doing exactly that. He's like, oh, I just wanted to thank, everyone. The pizza oven guys, they're so good. And then he goes, oh, is there anyone I'm forgetting? And get this. I'm out in the crowd, like, taking photos. It was like a beach wedding. So everyone's like standing up, like, whatever, real cruisy. And I know the bride super well, like, old friends. And I go, he says, am I forgetting anyone? And I go,
did she really?
Yeah, because I know them, and he didn't hear me, but all the people around me like look at me and like go, what? And then a bit to my relief, they're all like, oh yeah, like what the fuck?
That guy. You just swore. Oh, that's awesome. Oh well,
it was, so I like won the crowd over, but the groom didn't realize. So I was like, no
jokes
like,
on.
It's all good.
You know what I do in that circumstance? Sometimes if they're thanking everyone and at the end that I get missed out because I'm shooting, it's nighttime, right? Sometimes I have my flash on. Sometimes I take a burst mode with flash. So like suddenly there's like 10 flashes from the back of the room.
That's awesome.
And they still don't know.
And still nothing. They're like, who's this? This photographer's an idiot. Like he's ruining the moment.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, so that was my snapdown.
I have a snapdown. Thought of one.
Oh yeah, go for it.
No, I didn't want to cut yours in. Is yours?
No. I've got two more, but you go.
Okay. It's not really a advice, it's just an anecdote. So I did this awesome wedding on Saturday, up on a hillside in near Mossvale in the Southern Highlands. And I had this really funny thing happen. So I was working with a celebrant that I've worked with a lot, with often, who's really good. And he said to me before the ceremony started, he goes, I was like, hey, you know, did they write their own vows? Is there anything that I should know about the ceremony, whatever, that I need to be aware of?
Usual
like,
celebrant
banter. Yeah. So he knows that I'm on the ball and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he goes, oh, no, it's all good, all normal. Just to let you know, as I usually do, after they kiss and after we sign the register, I'm going to get them to kiss again because it's nice for the guests and it's nice, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, sweet, that's good. So anyway, ceremony happens, they do their kiss, they sign their register, they come back up to be announced and he gets them to kiss again. I think he said something like, hey guys, why don't you give it another kiss? It's just a good opportunity for the guests to clap. All good. Shot both kisses, shot the portraits. Then at the end of the portraits, walking towards the reception, which is in a big, it was really cool. It was actually in a horse training arena. A couple were ahead of me. There was a guy there near the car park, and he was he's a photographer. He had a big camera, a big 70-200, and he stopped me and he's like, hey man, I just wanted to let you know, I thought you handled that scenario really well where you missed the kiss. I was like, what? And he goes, well, you know, I saw that the couple kissed a second time. So, I mean, yeah, you obviously missed the first kiss. And I just thought you handled it really well. Hmm. You didn't lose your cool. And I was like, I did not miss the first kiss.
Excuse me.
And I fully went on the defensive. And then I was like, oh, you know, he's actually not. He's just obviously misread the scenario.
He wasn't being passive aggressive.
No, he was being actually the opposite. He was actually saying, in my view, I thought you missed the kiss, and I was really impressed with how you didn't freak out. You just simply you simply somehow got word to them to have another kiss, and they did. But anyway, that was pretty funny. I did not miss the kiss.
So that happened to Kat, like at her wedding on Saturday. The couple did like a micro pic.
Yeah,
and she got it. But she wasn't sure, and she kind of like didn't want to go back and check and like whatever. She just had a vibe.
Yep.
So she did exactly what the guy thought you did.
Yep.
Which is, she said to the couple. Actually, I suppose she could have said to the celebrant, "Hey, can you get them to kiss again?" But she just said to the couple, "Hey guys, would it be cool to do like another kiss before you walk out?"
So she said it during the signing or something.
Yep, during the signing.
Kudos to her. That is very, very well played.
Because we put the images on the computer and we're both like going through, and she's like, she's ready to like completely freak out because she thinks she's, you know, missed both kisses or who knows.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you got both kisses. Like, it's all good. But yeah, good job
that
way.
That's really interesting though, because that's a good lesson to take away from the anecdote is that people seem to freak out a lot about wedding photography and that there are so many moments you have to get. But really, the whole wedding day, I reckon there are very, very, very few moments you can't, if you really had to. Like if something happened and your camera broke or you fell over. The only thing you really cannot recreate is the first time the groom or sees, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say groom anymore, partner one sees partner. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Yeah, no.
Yeah. I'm so used to just saying groom, but
You
know, so like that's the only moment you can't recreate is when one partner sees the other. But even the kiss, you can totally just easily get it done again.
Did I ever tell you I was working in this videographer who was like a friend? He missed the kiss and he just went straight up the front and was like, "Hey guys, just kiss again, and I'm gonna just take this angle." And I was sitting like a gasp. I was like, "How dare you?" But
you what?
Everyone, the whole wedding was like,
"No one cares.
It's all good.
No one cares.
No worries."
No, it's like it's really nice when like weddings can be such ridiculously formal events, and it's nice when people are like chill about it. You know what I mean? I mean, good on him. He needed the shot again. He was like, "Hey, do it again. No one's gonna mind."
I was the only one that minded.
You're like, "How dare you?" Like,
Jesus. Okay, buddy. I've got a few more, but we'll move on. I'll save those for
you
next
sure?
week. Yeah. Hang on. Look, I'll get this one out of. This is one's been here for a long time.
Okay.
Listen. Okay. At a wedding, I think it's fair to say, as photographers, most of us at weddings, as wedding photographers, don't like going up to people and saying, "Hey, can I take your photo?"
Okay.
Would that be fair to say? Like, let's say you see a group of people standing there chatting, like it's mingling time. I think mostly we don't like to go up to a group and say, "Hey guys, you want me to take your photo?"
Yeah, okay.
Fair to say?
Well, okay, I can say as a general rule, we prefer to be candid. Is that what you mean?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
There's
that
awkward moment where the people might be like, "Oh, what are you doing? Go away."
Not really, yeah.
Or they might be really into it.
I can see that.
I had this idea, actually, and this might be tricky for you, Tom, but for people that do a full group shot, big group, all the people.
Yep.
Take the photo, and then when you're like all done and they're ready to walk away, I've been thinking, I haven't tried it yet, but I keep meaning to say at that point, "Hey guys, later on when you're mingling, I'll be going around taking candid photos. Feel free to come up to me or wave to me if you want a photo like with your friends."
You could totally do that.
And then I think it helps to diffuse that if there is any barrier between the photographer and the guests. They know that they can come up and say, hey, can you come and take a photo?
Yeah.
And you're like, "Love to."
It's a good idea, man.
Anyway.
You should try it and see how if that changes that kind of dynamic in that part of the day.
I will.
Get back to me.
Right.
Right.
Move on. I'm sort of like a little bit anxious about moving on because I know what's coming.
No, why are you anxious about that?
Anxious because
I think you don't want the apple cut.
I think it just could change. There's this change in the air, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, from some comments you've made to me, I'd say the change is not really something that you are looking at. Am I right?
No, it is. It really is something I'm looking at. Yeah.
So I should explain what we're talking about.
You take the reins.
I have had about two or three weeks with a Sony A7 Mark III, which
You need to put in your doo doo doo.
All right, you'll probably hear that sound right now. Yes.
You wish you were that good at editing.
Watch me, I am. Watch. You just wait. There's going to be all manner of weird sounds peppered through this episode. Suddenly, that's the other thing. Production value goes down. Sound effects go up.
Random noises, way up.
Random horse noises.
Okay, sorry. I'll shut up.
No. Please don't shut up. Okay. Okay, so yeah, I've been shooting Canon for weddings for 8 years. And in my own personal life, like for travel and stuff, for, 15 years. So I'm the guy that poo-poos Nikon. I never even considered moving to any of the other brands like Fuji.
Have you ever owned anything else as your primary camera? Like, I know you owned a Fuji that you mucked around with for a while, but...
Yeah, no, just Canons.
Right.
Professionally speaking, I was from the 5D Classic, mm-hmm. and then all the way through to a 1DX. I had a 1DX, and now I've been on 5D Mark IVs. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I read the specs for the Sony A7 Mark III, and I was just like, whoa. And I definitely don't want to make this episode about the specs of the Sony, because you can just go and Google the Sony A7 Mark III. Just be careful you're Googling the right one. They're pretty confusing because there's like an A7 series, there's an A7S series and an A7R series, and they're actually very different cameras. But so this is the A7 Mark III.
No S, no R.
Exactly. So I've had 3 weeks with it. I've only got one body so far. I got one of the first ones. Well, I don't know if it was one of the first in Australia, but it was the first wave of pre-orders. So... Mm-hmm. DigiDirect in Miranda, I got one of their first 5 bodies. So probably it's one of the very first to have one. So the last few weeks I've been playing around with it heaps. I've taken it to weddings because I don't only have one body. I haven't shot a whole day with it. What I have done is shot the everything that I need two cameras for, I've shot that on the Canons. So I use two cameras for prep, the ceremony and the first from the first dance. So that's all been on Canon, but everything else I've been shooting on the Sony. So I've shot all the portraits and a lot of the receptions. So I guess I wanted to just talk about how that's been and how I've found that. Yeah. And I guess in summary, it's been pretty awesome. I'll tell you the great things about the Sony, and then I'll tell you the frustrating things. So the great things are, man, it is so small and light. So on Friday's wedding, I used the Sony from the start of the portraits up until the first dance. And usually by that time of the day, I'm super tired and I get pain, whatever the muscle is called, to the right of my spine, in between my spine and my shoulder blade. Mm-hmm. It's like that big muscle at the top of your back below your traps. What's that called?
Mm-mm. You don't know.
No. The back muscle?
Yeah, I don't know. I've got no idea.
Usually I have a lot of pain from that, and it's not from carrying, it's from lifting to my eye.
Oh.
From lifting the camera to my eye. I find that it's repetitive on that muscle.
Okay,
So no pain with the Sony. And then the next day I did half the portraits with the Sony and I was fine. Then something bad happened. I'll talk about that in a second. And then I switched to the Canon. Within half an hour, I was having muscle pain in my back. So look,
can I just quickly ask the lens that you'd typically be using on the Sony?
So I guess I should say what I have in that respect too. Okay. So I got the Sony. I bought a 35mm f/1.4,
that's made by Sony.
That's a Sony lens. Yep, mm-hmm. It's called a Distagon, and it's got Zeiss. It's made by Zeiss and Sony. I don't know, they do it together. Then I bought an 85mm. It's a not a Sony. It's a Zeiss lens. It's called a Batis. 85mm. It's a 1.8, which is not as fast as I would usually shoot with because my Sigma is 1.4. But again, like I'm really trying to invest in the future of my body and I just want to be as light as possible.
Is that lens a native Sony mount?
Yes, yeah, it okay. is. Yes. And it's about, I don't know, 400 grams. Oh. It's so light and it's fantastic. I also picked up an 18mm f2.8, but it's too wide. I'm going to get rid of that. I'm going to go... I'm going to go there. There's a Zeiss Batis 25mm, which will be a really nice focal length.
I think there's a 16 to 35 that they do.
Yeah, there is. I'm just not... You're not keen on zooms, eh? I'm a prime snob and I probably should change that, but I just... For a wide angle, a zoom is very useful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Just for when you're doing portrait, like big groups, whatever. That's the only time I use that 16 to 35 of mine.
What about on the dance floor?
No, just use my 35.
35, okay. Mm. Okay, so the positives. It's extremely light. It's extremely small.
How about in your big gorilla hands?
Yeah, well, good point. I actually got a little grip, a half grip. I don't know if you can see there. See the bottom?
Yeah. Oh, I see. So there's like a notch where the battery part is, but then it goes up high.
Yep, so like it screws onto the... Exactly. So most of the camera is the same. And then just where your hand is, there's space for your pinky and your... Whatever that other finger is called next to your pinky.
Your ring finger.
Yeah, my ring finger. That's right. Without that, it's pretty small for my hands. I'm a pretty big guy and it would be... I would feel like I would be clawing it. It would be really hard to hold. You know, it's too small. And obviously, I'm talking from the point of view of having shot Canon for so long.
Sure.
If you have smaller hands, it'd be sweet. Like when Michelle holds it, it's perfect for her.
Even for me with a Mark, anything, a 5D, my pinky falls off the bottom.
Falls off. Yeah, yeah. You would absolutely need some type of grip, I reckon. You can get a full battery grip.
Yeah, what's the battery situation in that grip?
There's no, it's just the normal one battery. So this does not hold a battery.
I see. Gotcha.
Yep. It's just a bit of metal plasticky thing,
Do you have to take that off to replace the battery?
Yes, but it's super simple. You just turn that a few times and move that.
Oh, I see.
Like you don't actually have to take it off.
It's just a little cosmetic.
Yep.
Gotcha. Yep. So if anyone was wondering, Tom just unscrewed the bottom, what do you call that? Tripod?
Lug thing.
Thing. And it just twisted out of the way.
I only have to turn it twice. It's very fast. Like nice. It's almost as fast as
so you can't use it with a tripod. You'd whip that off.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Yep. Gotcha.
Which cool. For weddings, whatever.
Like, no, who cares? Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So it's very small. It's very light. It's very nimble. The autofocus is off the charts. So
okay.
Like one of my friends, Gavin Cato. He has been shooting Sony for 2 years or so. You know Gavin, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He explained to me, he said to me, it's basically like a computer that has a lens mount. And I was like, I don't really know what he was talking about, but now I get it. It's like if you go into it expecting it to work like a Canon, you're going to be disappointed. It's so incredibly intelligent. Out of every shot that I've taken since I've had it, like basically every single one is in focus. I basically can't get it to not focus. So it has the most amazing focus modes. The tracking is incredible. It has what they're calling eye focus, which means if you have it has face detect. So if it detects a face in the viewfinder within, say, I don't know, 10 meters, it will lock onto an eye. That's how good it is. And it will track the eye across the entire viewfinder. It has so many focus modes that you can use. And from what I can tell so far, they're all very reliable. It has an amazing manual focus mode where if you turn it into manual focus, as soon as you... move the focus ring on the lens, it automatically zooms to 100% in the EVF, the electronic viewfinder. So as soon as you turn that, it's 100% onto wherever the focus point was. Mm. So it's very easy to manually fine tune the focus if you had to.
I think I've seen that somewhere. What do you call that thing where it's got focus peaking?
Yeah, focus peaking. I guess that's kind of exactly what it's called. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, it's my first mirrorless, so all this stuff is really new to me. Like Sony shooters are probably listening like, yeah, whatever, I know all this stuff. But coming from a Canon, it's actually been really, really hard. I'll get to that. But yeah, the good things, so the autofocus is amazing.
That's a big one for me because I'm struggling, always have struggled where you've got a you're doing a portrait session and you just focus on the wrong thing. I don't know, the camera just picks up the background by accident, or it picks up the lady's shoulder or the whatever. You know, nothing's just exactly tack sharp.
It makes this camera, the autofocus makes the Canons look like just pieces of crap. Like, it's night and day. It's incredible. Doesn't matter how fast they're moving. It doesn't matter if you're at what f1.4. But what about you want?
Do you have to do things like fine tuning, like micro adjustments and all that kind of stuff with the lenses and with?
I've done none. I don't know. I've done none, and it's absolutely 100% perfect. So there is a micro adjustment function, and I guess you could run it through Focal or one of those systems.
Sure, but anecdotally, it's just bad.
I haven't had to. Yeah. So that's the main thing. The high ISO performance is really good. It's I haven't really tested it too much. I shot an entire reception without flash, around 6400 ISO, and it was absolutely fine. Like, I would easily be able to deliver those files. What else is good? They're for me the main things that that I wanted to do is have a camera that focuses really well. And has amazing autofocus.
So for that, for you, like, big picture, that camera is absolutely adequate for covering a wedding.
It's more than adequate, man. It basically does everything that a 5D would do, but better, and it's smaller, and it's cheaper.
All right. Well, you better hit us with, are there any downsides?
Yes. and these are simply, I don't think these are native downsides to the camera. These are downsides having come from a Canon.
Okay.
So because, again, I went into it trying to think that it would work like a Canon, but it doesn't. It's just way more complicated. The menu system is a dog. So things are hidden. Things are hidden all through the menu. You don't know where they are. To get around that, there's like a My Menu function. You just add the menu items that you frequently use, similar to the Canon.
Yeah.
And once you get through the menu system and work it all out, it's actually not too bad. The button placement, for me, I just would prefer the body to be a little bit bigger. But that's just me, because I have big hands. Like, as people have told me, you know, there are many cameras with bigger bodies, like the A9 has a bigger body, or the Canons are bigger, whatever. And with the grip, it's fine. But I find learning the button placement has been pretty trying for me, because I'm so used to having the particular functions where I've had them for the last 8 years on the Canon. I've got it set up pretty well now, though. It's pretty good. One little frustrating thing: I want to change the ISO in full stop increments. I've talked about this before.
Yep, you do like
I can't.
That.
I can't.
Okay.
I can't set that. That's super frustrating for me. But that's, you know, a pretty minor thing that I can probably get past. The autofocus is so good, but so complicated. There are like 10 different modes. There's so many different modes that learning all those has been really hard, like trying to figure out which would work the best. And again, that's just a factor of I just have come from a Canon and, you know, have to get used to it.
So are those the kind of, those modes, would you be changing those throughout a wedding?
Yes, but once you find the mode that suits you, you probably wouldn't need to. So for example, the way I've got it set now is I change the focus point with the joystick, similar to the Canon. There's many, many different size of square, like focus point. You can use like a tiny little dot. It has like the focus points go right to the edge of the, like, there's like 700. Wow. So you can autofocus on something that's like 1 centimeter from the edge of the frame. Yeah, it's amazing. The only time you change probably is you might go from normal autofocus to single shot. Maybe if you don't want to track, if you've got like a small couple in the distance. I had a little trouble focusing on that, so I had to change to manual, and that was fine. But to change to manual, it just is really easy. You just press a button.
Yeah, there's like a... Yeah.
There's a button. Yeah. You might... For a shot where you're really close to a couple, you might use the eye focus instead. But I have, I don't know if you can see my thumb, that's my normal back button AF. That one right there is eye focus.
Oh, okay, cool.
So you literally just move your thumb there, press that. It's super easy. Yeah.
So the manual focus and the eye focus can be two separate buttons.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Very easy. And the buttons are all customizable. Like, every single thing you can change to your liking. Is that actually a computer, you know?
Cool, man.
Few more little negatives. The rear LCD is nowhere near as good as the Canon. So I'm having trouble trusting the photos. So when I look at the photos I've just taken, they don't look very good. When I download them, they're perfect.
Okay.
So developing that trust with the camera might take some time. The EVF is really useful because you can see your exposure and your depth of field before you shoot. You don't have to chimp anymore. Like you don't have to look at the screen because what you shot, you already saw as you were shooting it, right?
Okay, yeah. Is it really, really clear? Because I think it's like, is it 2 million pixels or something?
I don't know. Yes, it's very clear, but it's still not as good as seeing the actual through the mirror, right?
Yeah.
You're not seeing that as clearly. But yes, it's very clear.
But the positives outweigh the negatives, I think, at this point.
I'd say vastly they do.
Yeah.
The files are absolutely incredible. Like the sharpness is that I had to turn down my sharpening settings from what I've been using for the Canon just because the sharpness is just out of this world.
Wow.
The colors are great. The files look really similar to my Canon 5D files.
Can you tell us how large a single file is out of the camera?
A RAW file is around 25 megabytes.
So that's great.
And now there's actually that's compressed RAW. There's compressed RAW and uncompressed RAW, and the jury's still out on as to which we should be using. But I've done a bit of research, and various people are saying like you really can't see any difference between compressed and uncompressed. And uncompressed is huge, like 50, 60 meg per RAW file.
Yeah, I've also heard about this argument, and one guy said it was only when he had done like a second export and then started moving the sliders. Like five stops or something, he noticed a little bit more noise in a... What's the new one called? Is it compressed RAW?
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, cool. No. All right. 25 megabytes. That's a good file size, though.
Because it's like 24 megapixels, I think. So, it's good.
I think that's about what my file sizes are on a Mark III.
I think that'd be really similar. And a Mark IV is like 36 to 38, maybe.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Nice. Well, that ticks that box for me.
Oh, 10 frames a second. As well.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And it's two SD cards, no more contact flash.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, they're just way smaller and you can shove them directly into your computer if you want.
Yeah, exactly. Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, please.
Battery life?
2,000 photos.
So same. It's just same.
Absolutely the same. Yeah. Wow. Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
That's quite a glowing review, I'd say. Like, that's up there. Like, how could you improve on that?
Well, okay, there's no native 135 f2. This really pisses me off. Mm-hmm. So your options are you get a converter and you use the Canon.
Yeah.
I tried that. I wasn't happy with the results. It just was not acting like it should. And also it just becomes this huge thing on the end of this small camera. Second option, you get a Sigma 135 f1.8, which is just about to be released with Sony mount.
Okay.
But
that's a heavy lens.
Well, it's freaking heavy. And also, all they did is they took the Canon one, took the mount off, built in a converter, and then put a new mount. So it's like so long.
So it's hard. Yeah, okay.
Or you get the Zeiss makes one, a 135, but it's 2.8. Mm. But apparently it's amazing. So I'm going to try that out. And maybe I can deal with the 2.8 until Sony decides to release their own F2 version, which hopefully they'll do. Because, I mean, for me, the 135 F2 is like, I use that a lot.
Me too.
It's so good. So, look, overall, that's been a bit of a skim. Overall, I'm really happy with the camera. And I do think that I'll ditch Canon and swap to Sony. It's just going to require a little bit more. I'm just going through these teething problems of just functionality and muscle memory issues and not trusting the camera until I download the photos, and then I'm like, oh, okay, these photos are really nice, you know? So I've got to develop that trust and that relationship.
It would be cool to hear. Like, I've never heard anything negative with respect to like the longevity and the does the camera break down, or you know, like I know with Canons they're pretty bulletproof.
Oh, they're tanks.
I'm sure we'll be hearing things if people are having problems with their Sonys.
Well, yeah. Like Gavin's been using them for several years, never had an issue.
Yeah.
I believe I read somewhere that this thing's rated to 500,000 shots.
Oh, wow.
Because there's no mirror, right? Well, there's thing flipping happening. Up and down. There's just a little... It does have a silent mode, but it's an electronic shutter. It's not a it's not a full what do they call it? Where it's not electronic. Like it does have a no, sorry, it's a mechanical shutter.
Okay.
It does have a shutter that goes like, you know, so you do hear a clicking sound.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that.
Okay, let me ask you this. If in 6 months Canon released a full frame mirrorless with similar focusing capabilities, would you be thinking, maybe go, you know, maybe Canon's still a good option?
Yes.
But you see, with that, that would only be the first model, wouldn't it?
That's the problem. So Sony have been producing these mirrorless cameras for like 4 to 5 years now.
Ironing out the kinks.
They've been listening to users, and this camera has incorporated so many features that people have directly asked for. Canon does not give a shit. Like their camera cycle is like once every 5 to 6 years. They hold stuff back. They don't listen to what we want. They leave stuff out. And I just think that, like, let's say they did that, which I think they will, even though I think it'll be 1 to 2 years away. They'll make their own version of what we want, and then they'll leave stuff out, and then it'll be like 5 more years before they release the next one. And by that stage, Sony will have released like 10 new cameras.
Yeah.
And they'll be leaps and bounds ahead. I don't know.
Plus, what's it going to cost, this new camera? Well,
it's going to be freaking expensive. Yeah.
Five grand plus.
Yeah.
It can't be. I mean, to compete with that, it has to be
$3,000. Well, the specs on this are basically like a 1DX. Sure. Or a 1DX Mark II, but it's in this tiny little package. Definitely gets a thumbs up from me, and I am very keen to swap over. I'm just going to keep like testing it, playing with it, and trying to get it into my...
Are you kind of thinking over winter when you're a bit quieter, you might just subtly transition?
I've actually got a second body already on order. So I might, hopefully get it in a few weeks, and then I'll subtly get rid of my Canon gear and... save my back and my legs, you know?
Mm-hmm. I do, yeah. That's like 90% of it.
Oh, yeah.
That and the focusing. To get that bankable focusing, because, you know, I have to admit, man, I feel a bit stupid that it's me having to tell the camera, focus on that. Why can't the camera just be like, oh, I got it. You want me to focus on that? Okay, well, leave it to me.
That's what it does, man. So you've got, let's say you've got a bunch of people in front of you, you'll get a green box pop up with face detect. It'll be like, here's a face. All you do is you hit autofocus, it focuses on that face, and it tracks the face across the whole
screen. Can you skip between faces? Like,
I don't know. That's something I haven't figured out yet.
Okay.
Hey, man, I just got the outro music. Does that mean I should...
It means nothing.
Okay, sweet.
Because, this is what happens to me. Yeah. It means we're about done.
Yeah. Well, I have ranted a lot. Do you feel I've given you a...
Okay.
You know...
I think it's been really, really good. I think Sony shooters are going to be like, welcome to the party.
Yeah.
We told you this news.
So long ago. Yeah.
And Canon shooters are going to be like, yikes, maybe it is time. Okay, so can you just give us like... It's... To sum up, you're making the switch.
I think I am, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's enough that... Any positive that the any benefit that you get by using Canon is outweighed.
To be able to have photos that are in focus, that I can trust to be in focus, is so good.
The weight.
Oh, it's so small. It's so small and light, man. It just feels so.
And the cost. Sorry, I'm interrupting you. The cost.
No. It's fine. It's very inexpensive. Yeah, that's right. I reckon I will.
All right, sweet. I what can I say? But crap, now I gotta go. Like, I gotta get one.
You should test on, man. Like, yeah, for our, you know, ninja gorilla. I mean, guerrilla, not gorilla. Guerrilla style of shooting where we try and blend and we try and be, you know, in amongst it and stuff. To be able to do that with a relatively small and non-imposing camera. It's pretty useful.
Nice.
Yeah. I'll report back as I use it more as well.
Because you've got a lot of Canon gear that you'd have to...
Six bodies. Six bodies, like 12
lenses.
And what
about for video? Because you could use those. They're probably much better than anything Canon can do for video.
Again, I don't know. It'd require testing. I've read some reports that there's some odd video issues like banding and odd artifacts, but I don't know anything about that. But yeah, like, you know, when you're at a wedding and you're shooting and you're with a videographer, like more than half of them are on Sony.
Yeah. Yeah,
they have been for ages, you know, so
absolutely.
I guess that says something.
Yeah.
I really like the articulating screen too.
Yeah. See, does the Mark IV do that?
No.
See, what the hell? I mean,
I know, right?
Like it's just... I was at a wedding a couple of days ago and there was this beautiful stonework outside and I hung the shoes on the, like, on the stone, the edges of the stones.
Love it.
And I wanted to be able to shoot upwards.
Yep.
And so I got to put the camera like super close to the ground. And I was like, well, that's it. I can't do it.
Yep. And the other thing that would be useful for these with us is imagine traveling with these cameras. They're gonna halve the weight of your kit. And the lenses are smaller. Yeah.
I'm going to America in a month. Nearly a month. And maybe I should get one and take it on my trip. And then I can use it, learn.
You wait till you see these files that this camera puts out. They're so sharp and they're very Canon-like in the colors.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Cool, man.
Okay. That's it. That's us. What do we do now?
You have to make something snappin.
Oh, am I snapping things? Well, I reckon... I think everyone should definitely make their Sony research snappin.
Oh, I agree with that totally.
Do some Sony research. And I think, you know what? As loyal as I am to Canon, I shouldn't be.
What's Canon ever done for you?
Exactly. Like,
have they listened to your feedback?
No, well, I haven't really called them.
No, you haven't.
But,
that's true. But if you had, they would.
But they're so far behind. Yeah, just everybody, just broaden your horizons. And if you're on Sony, well, just give yourself a pat on the back. I think you chose the winning horse in this case.
Shake your own hand.
Yeah. All right, bro. All right,
man. Yeah, let's go. Okay, bye.
All right, bye.